We're back. This is 180. I'm Carl Claussen. With me in studio today again, Dr. George Koch. How are you, my friend?
Carl, I'm great.
Thank you. Pastor of the Res Church. You call it the Res Church or just Res Church?
Oh, either one. We're really easy.
Yeah, you like these nicknames, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, if you could get it shorter, you would.
That's not working.
Let's just stick with Res. It's in West Chicago, right?
It is. Resurrection Anglican, West Chicago.
George has written a book, What We Believe and Why. Get a copy if you haven't yet. It will really cause you to think deeply. And here's what's great about this. It's not just data. It's testimonial information of this journey with Jesus. And George, to that end, the stories keep coming to you, don't they, about how we need to help this culture understand that we're not living life by the list. We're living life on a walk with a personal God.
We are. And probably what really brought this back home to me strongly was a young man who I had coffee with just the other night, new to our congregation there because of your program, by the way. He heard about it and dropped in, and he's stuck. He's a really nice, wonderful young man.
That's tremendous.
And we began testifying about our own experience with God. And I shared what brought me to the faith from a long wandering in the wilderness. He shared the same thing, how he had come to faith after a lot of wandering. And he really wanted some counsel about how do I live going forward? What do I do? And he had many, well, let's just say philosophies or ideas about how to behave, how to conduct oneself as a believer. And as we were separating, I said to him, you know, I appreciate your testimony, and you've said you appreciate mine. Do you realize that when we read Scripture, we are not reading philosophical propositions? What we are reading is testimonies of others and their life with God.
Boom!
Boy, he just stopped, stock still, and looked at me and said, wow, I never realized that. And it suddenly, it all came to life, and he saw stories of living with God rather than philosophical ideas.
This leads to one of your chapters. It's so important. This might be a pivotal chapter for this entire book. And you talk about religious concepts. Why are concepts so deadly and Christ is so alive?
Well, we come back to my little paraphrase of Kierkegaard that you've heard me use before.
I love it.
And that is that all of humanity stands before two doors. One is labeled God. The other lectures about God, and everybody's lined up at lectures about God because they're terrified or don't know how to stand to go through the door labeled God.
Isn't the Bible, though, to use your analogy, and I believe it's accurate, that what we find in the Scriptures is stories about God. Isn't it true that stories about God should cause us to stand before the door about God so that we have our own story?
We want to have our own story, and we appreciate the testimony of others. I know that one of the great moments in my own life in seeing the Holy Spirit move and heal someone when I prayed, and you know, this would be true for any believer, not just me, was because of the testimony of a friend who had, on request, laid hands and had seen a miraculous healing take place. His testimony emboldened me to lay hands and pray for God's healing, and the Holy Spirit didn't refuse the invitation. But it was the testimony that led me there.
That's the whole point. So when we come to the Scriptures, it should be seen through the looking glass of we're seeing someone else's parade or their journey or their path, their faith walk with God. And it should cause us to say, let me get on this thing.
I want that. And unfortunately, what's happened over the centuries, and we'll go into this in more detail as we go on, is that we in the West, and this is true from the first century all the way up to ours, live with what I would call a Greek worldview. And I don't necessarily even mean that negatively. Greek civilization flowered starting around 300 BC. And they examined the world and life through a philosophical lens, or a series of lenses, you might say. And it caused them to develop schools of philosophy that each had their own take on how the universe was structured and how it functioned, what was true and what wasn't true. Hmm. And what has often happened is that we have done theology, if you would, or we have done doctrine, following that same pattern that the Greeks laid down. And so we take a testimony in Scripture, a telling of a story between Mary Magdalene and Jesus, as an example, and we have sort of drawn concepts out of it, and then put those concepts together into a proposition, a major premise. We've had a minor premise about Jesus' intention or who he is, his identity. And then we had a conclusion that we drew from that. And we went through that process again and again, verse by verse through the Scriptures, until we had developed a whole ideology, a whole philosophical school, lectures about God, if you would. And then we began idolizing that school. And it turned us away from life with God, using testimony to go to God and get relationship.
Are lists bad?
Lists are not bad, but they can become idols.
Fair enough.
That's the challenge.
So I'm thinking of, you know, all the classes I had at Bible college and in seminary where we had to come up with doctrinal statements for everything from harmatology, which is the study of sin, to eschatology and everything in between. Those remaining purely academic are deadly.
Absolutely deadly. And I, for one, grew up in a church where that was, in effect, all that there was. There was that study and analysis, and from it was derived models of behavior, and then we behaved in that way. But at no time was it ever suggested that there actually could be a relationship with the living God. Instead, it was an academic conclusion that we reached, which led to how we run our lives.
To the person right now listening to us, and I know I feel it in my heart, that they're saying, oh God, I want to go beyond life by the list.
Amen.
George, how do they make that step toward him?
Oh, the simplest way is just pray, and make the prayer utterly inelegant, simple, straightforward.
Utterly inelegant.
Just say, Jesus, help. You know, that's the best prayer of faith.
It is.
Just help, and
it
he
is.
Will. He will.
That's so good. George Koch, everyone. Dr. George Koch, a great work. What We Believe and Why. Get a copy. WhatWeBelieveAndWhy.com. And he has a Sunday program at 1 p.m. every Sunday that you've got to take a listen to. And it happens to be titled,
What We Believe and Why.
We should sing a duet sometime.
We'll do it in harmony.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Oh, more next week at this time. 180, Your Life, A New Direction.